Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JavaScript for WordPress show. I'm educator Zach Gordon, and in this show, I talk with influencers in the field of JavaScript and WordPress about their experiences learning these tools deeply and their advice for all of us. So I am very excited to talk with the person that we have on the show today. Been following his work for a long time. I even remember when I had the courage to first talk to him in person at a Day of Rest, their first one that they had in the UK, and had questions about theme customizer, CSS, and OAuth, and all sorts of things I didn't understand at the time, and have definitely appreciated getting to know this man more over the years. And you know his work if you've ever used the customizer. You may have heard of his company XWP VIP, where he works, a VIP WordPress shop. So I think that is enough to say, Weston, welcome to the show, my friend. Please say hi.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me.
Very excited to have you on the show. Hopefully represented a bit of kind of what you've done professionally and a bit about WordPress, and we'll get into all this. But before we do, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself outside of work and WordPress?
Yeah, I live in Portland, Oregon. And I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, and I live here with my wife and two boys, and we have a lot of fun playing Legos, and I enjoy running and biking and patroning local shops, and also really love studying languages, mostly.
Interesting.
I know a lot of Spanish, but also studied several other languages, and I really enjoy that outside of coding.
Nice. Very cool. So, let's see, if we were to get in our JavaScript way, way back machine and go back to your very first lines of JavaScript, do you remember what they were or the context of when you first interacted with this language?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, it was probably back in like 1998 or something around then. And all the rage was, of course, the JavaScript rollovers for your nav menus. So I'm sure I added, you know, some images to my nav menus, and then I had the on mouse out events added to the link, the A tags, and yes, swapping out the images when you moused over those. So that's probably the first time I used it.
Well, folks forget that you had to use JavaScript to do those kind of things early on, right?
Yeah. It was ugly. Then I remember using it to hack a table-based layout where I couldn't figure out how to get the columns prop like a sidebar column in a table to have the right width. And so I remember using a document.write to get the screen width from the window object, and then calculating the percentage, or the pixel width actually, of the sidebar that I needed, and then document.wrote out the width for a given table cell, back when table-based layouts were all the rage.
Another thing that the web went through was table-based layouts, but that's pretty cool because that was jumping above the normal DOM layer that people see and to get in the window size and calculate in from there. So very clever use early on, huh?
Hacker, yeah.
So give us an idea. Tell us a little bit story about how this has evolved for you over time, starting back in the hacking the DOM to figure out CSS solutions, which it ultimately has resulted to. We even have CSS grids, and Hover works just fine in CSS now. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the maybe projects or periods where you needed to go that next step and learn the language a little bit more, starting off in those early days?
Yeah, I really, when I first came across Ajax, and that was really what got me into JavaScript, I think, a lot more. And my son, you might hear in the background.
Hey there.
It was, Ajax, and seeing Google Maps and seeing interfaces that didn't require a full page refresh. Those were really the big change that got me into JavaScript. And I remember that I was doing a lot with with Ajax, and I wanted to create these interfaces that didn't require full page refreshes. And the approach that I took to implement some of those interfaces was to use something called the JSON RPC, which was a port of XML RPC, but in JSON format. And I really enjoyed using that to build these interfaces. And I never could really get why so many people were hating on XMLRPC, because if the main thing is just XML being the problem, then just use JSON instead.
So you've been rocking JSON from the early days then, huh, interacting? Because a lot of the complaint, I think, against it is actually XML itself, potentially, and the cumbersomeness that comes with that, right?
Yeah, and so back in 2004, 2005, I was using a JSON RPC instead, and really enjoyed that. And I was also doing it in the context of a classic ASP stack. And with classic ASP, one of the great features of it was, while by default you'd be writing your server-side code in VBScript, you could also instead write it in JScript, which was Microsoft's flavor of JavaScript. And at that time, then I could use the same JavaScript code on the server as I was using on the client. So nowadays that's kind of in vogue because of Node, but it was a common
known fact that you had JScript by Microsoft running what Node does now way back in the day. Wow, very cool. Yeah, because I was curious if it was integrated with WordPress at that time, or probably maybe some other platform or something like that. Okay, wow. So working from this ASP and JSON environment, what kind of came next for you, or what were the next projects and evolution of your learning?
Well, I think back before I was really getting into Ajax, I kind of, in high school, was a devourer of the Dummies books. So Perl for Dummies was my first programming book that I read. And I think from there, I went to JavaScript for Dummies. And so then I was just devouring as many technical books as possible. And from the early time, I remember going through getting the Rhino JavaScript definitive guide book, and just going through all that and learning every little nook and cranny as I could of JavaScript. And so I had a lot of those, internalized a lot of those quirks and idiosyncrasies. And it's funny because we just celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary, my wife and I. And
congratulations.
I remember during our honeymoon, we went to Barnes & Noble, we're just reading some books, and I sat down and I read the JavaScript The Good Parts book. And I'm sure you're familiar with the picture of the definitive guide with the Good Parts book on top, and how much larger the whole, you know, all the different nooks and crannies of JavaScript, the bad parts included, compared with the good parts. I think I really like JavaScript, and I remember JavaScript back when it was kind of hated by serious programmers. And if you really wanted to get something done, you wouldn't use JavaScript. You'd use Flash, or you'd use something like Java instead.
Yeah.
You could use Java for your rollovers too, you know.
A little Java applet running.
Yeah, and so I remember one thing that I was doing was, as I mentioned, I really liked linguistics. I still do. And one of the things you do in linguistics is you draw these tree diagrams of how sentences are structured. Yeah. And one of the things that I was doing as I was devouring all those books is learning SVG. And so then I wanted to use SVG to draw these tree diagrams. And I had to use JavaScript to do that. And then I also had to use like a recursive algorithm in JavaScript to be able to calculate the size of the words, and then to, from the bottom up, build a tree so that all the the branches would have the right widths.
Wow.
And so I
Wow.
remember just like wrapping, trying to rack my brain, trying to figure out how this recursion works. And so I remember that being a big JavaScript project that I worked on early
Wow.
on.
Wow, that sounds about right, man. Recursion like that, especially early on, it does something to your brain. It does literally kind of crunch it inwards. So that's sounds about the right experience. And well, I mean, this is also, I could say from talking with other folks, this is some rather in-depth learning really early on in the language. And I was reading these books as well early on, trying to study the language. And it I'm glad you brought that up too about the book reading, because I was curious when you were learning early on, what was the format? Was it trying to find early articles? Was it just on your own or specs? And those books were definitely definitive and helpful. So interesting to hear that you were digging deep in them pretty early on.
Yeah, books and then specs as well, and also specs that were being written. So like before HTML5, there was the what working group and the web forms 2.0 specification. And one of the things that I really enjoyed doing a lot of back in the day is developing shims and polyfills to get these leading edge technologies to work in browsers, including like IE6. And so I remember reading through the Web Forms 2.0 specification, which includes things like the input validation and the different types of input fields and that kind of thing. And wanting to use all that, but it couldn't because it wasn't available in IE or most other browsers yet. And so that was one thing that I really attribute to learning JavaScript a lot is trying to figure out how to build these shims in a cross-browser way and having to
Wow.
dive into the dark corners of how Internet Explorer's DOM attribute models was different than the other browsers. And so a lot of that knowledge now is obsolete, but it did really help me understand how things are working, how they should work and how they shouldn't work.
Wow, talk about getting involved in some projects that brought a deeper understanding. I mean, that really is literally the stuff that nobody wanted to look at, and probably the reason why a lot of folks didn't turn to JavaScript or things like jQuery were created later on to deal with these shims and trying to implement things. Or I guess by web forms, jQuery was probably coming along. But still, that you were trying to approach this and take that apart, man. Again, a very hacker approach, and also helping the web, contributing to some of the specs. And they're still doing good stuff, trying to take things further on the web. So, wow, very cool. So, doing these open source things, doing the, I guess, still maybe some ASP or moving past that, what was kind of the next step or stage or evolution of this for you? And I'm assuming at some point we get into WordPress and integrations there.
Yeah, I think I did the ASP stuff when I was in college. I studied computer science, and so in my job there on campus, I was doing ASP stuff. But after college, then that's when I really started getting into WordPress. And even before then, if I wasn't doing ASP stuff at work, I was doing PHP already mostly. But always with JavaScript augmenting the user experience on the client. But I think that like I really dove deep into web technologies and JavaScript and specifically in kind of the previous generation of the web, really. And so ECMAScript 5 and the JavaScript that runs in all browsers today is really kind of my first language. And
Yes.
so when I moved into doing WordPress, and WordPress has a lot of legacy PHP and JavaScript, and a lot of it is written in a way that is very comfortable to me and familiar to me as someone who did a lot of JavaScript back in the day. And I think that in part was it has held me back from really getting on board with the new JavaScript train with Node and ES6 and React, because I haven't needed to really learn them, because the environment where I do all my work is one that uses the old way of doing things.
It's a good
So
point. Yeah.
that's something that I'm trying to change now, and that's something that has been really helpful with starting to contribute into Gutenberg, since it uses ES6 and uses React and uses the build pipelines that I haven't had to use in day-to-day work with WordPress before. That's been valuable for me to feel like I'm finally starting to get back up to speed and able to be part of the current wave of JavaScript.
Wow, well, that is, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's probably a good number of folks who are in that position, even folks that weren't doing this as far back as you were, even having more of that 2015, let's say, and pre approach and kind of how WordPress has done things traditionally. So this is a really good point. You know, you talked about the Gutenberg project and more of that single page app design within WordPress and some of the technologies like React or Webpack or the single page app design. So when you're at the point now and wanting to do that, obviously you're jumping in just into the project, into the code. I'm curious about that. I'm also curious, what do you do to supplement your own knowledge? Are you again looking to s at specs for things? Do you look for documentation? Do you do courses and things like that? Or how do you approach this sort of thing?
I've usually, and up until now, done book reading, but I
Cool.
think I've done more lately. I've been doing more video courses, and I did Wes Voss's ES6
Awesome
course,
one.
and
Cool.
of course your course, and also YouTube videos and whatever I can come across,
YouTube's
whatever I come
amazing.
across.
Totally.
But then also, I think that looking at how the frameworks work and how they're built, like in working with the media modal or working with Backbone and WordPress core, looking at the source code for Backbone itself and hacking around with it to see how it actually works and how to extend it and how to use it in a way that is in line with how it's built. And then when something goes wrong in your code, being able to know what's going on under the covers to can really be insightful for figuring out why something is broken. So I think that's important to learn how something is working and not just use it if you really want to know it deeply.
Wow, what amazing advice. And I think you're tagging on to that phrase too. If you really want to go deep, yeah, you should understand how something works. I kind of want to ask you along this line, you do hear folks saying introducing this level of complexity into the JavaScript used in WordPress can be an obstacle and maybe prevent more people from contributing or getting involved. And what would you say to that? Do you think it is still something that can be approached? Is it insurmountable to learn? Does it really make it that much harder, the build tools and frameworks and new additions to JavaScript language itself?
I think I'm going to contradict what I just said, in that while you should know something deeply and know how it works, I think at the same time, with React and with a lot of the frameworks now, it's important to, especially for new contributors, to provide for them an environment where everything's already set up so that they don't have to understand Webpack. I don't have to understand how to run the build, to create a build and to create as many scripts as possible that these complexities, which you really don't need to worry about day to day, if they can be set up for the user so the contributor can just start getting hacking. And then once they're making progress, making something, building something, and having that satisfaction of getting something done, after that point, I think then it's a good idea to step back and then start to look at some of the pieces, because there's so many different technologies now that go into a modern JavaScript application that if you limited yourself to only using everything that you actually understand, it would be impossible, because you know, when you set up a React application, how many dozens of NPM modules does it install? And if you have to know how all of them work, then I mean, it's probably more than dozens, probably hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know. I haven't looked at how many it actually installs. But so I think, yeah, it's top down and then bottom up at the same time, but only bottom up bits of the tree at a time.
Well, that's such a great response. So you have the ability for new contributors to kind of jump in, have the tools kind of set up. They could just maybe run one or two command lines and everything will execute and bundle how it needs to. They can focus on picking up whatever framework. And most of them nowadays are pretty easy, regardless of your level of JavaScript. React isn't too tough to get understanding how it flows. Vue is another popular one. And at the same time, there's a lot of depth you could go into understanding how it really well works. And I actually wanted to circle back real quick, because we talked about some of your early involvement and then what the current state is. But you have also been very involved with another single page web app design that's not using React or Vue, and that is the customizer in WordPress. And I was hoping you could maybe give us a little bit of a backstory on how you came to be involved with that, and then what has your learning and execution process been like from your first days up until now, and maybe even what's coming with it in the future that you might imagine.
The customizer is WordPress's first single page application, and it actually doesn't use Backbone as its framework. It is a bespoke framework that is inspired by Backbone in some ways, but it's very tailored for, it's almost like a DSL for its use case. And there's a lot of syntax and syntactic sugar that is part of the JavaScript API that can make the life of a themer or someone who's extending the customizer much easier, in that they don't really need to know. It's very succinct snippets of code that they actually have to use from a day-to-day basis to build something. So it's not using Backbone. It's its own thing, and it's not. But most developers who interact with the customizer do so from the PHP side, and that's what most people are familiar with extending. But what a lot of people don't know, I think, is that when you add a control or add a setting or add a section or all these different calls that you would do in PHP, those are actually just translated straight into JavaScript. And there's equivalent calls in the JavaScript API for all those calls that you're doing in PHP. And so that's something that really you need to become familiar with if you really want to create customizer experiences that are much more dynamic, and which are able to, for example, manipulate a given post meta, for example, and having different controls and settings that are contextual based on whatever page you happen to be looking at currently in the customizer.
Wow, yes.
And to be able to do that, you have to use JavaScript to create those controls, because it's impossible to create a control for every single given poster page on a given site. This just doesn't scale. And so, I think that I really got into the customizer because I really believe in the live preview experience and being able to make changes in preview and to be able to bundle those changes together in a way that they can then be staged and published together as an atomic unit. And I think that really gives a lot of confidence to new users who don't really know how things work and what changing a setting will do. But if they can see the impact of that setting change in that live preview experience, then it can give them a lot more confidence and courage to make changes where they would not in like the WordPress admin, because they have no idea what a given setting change is going to do. And when you make that change in the admin, it goes live for everybody who's visiting the site. And it could, your whole site could be broken for all that you know.
Yeah, definitely a valuable tool, and definitely interesting that you point out that you created things on top of PHP functions are basically the same thing in the JavaScript. And at what point do you really need to know the JavaScript in order to create the interface that you want, or to dynamically figure out what page you're on and work with metadata, or all these complex things? I mean, there's such a potential for the customizer. And were there points along the way that you're like, oh man, I really need to figure out how this works, or major challenges that you tackled, or maybe even solutions in there that you really enjoyed, you thought were clever implementations of how they work? I know that it's more complex, especially with change sets, and now that you could save things than maybe people realize when they're just using the customizer.
I think that when you create a custom control in the customizer to manipulate a setting, you really need to know the JavaScript that is involved in the customizer interface. And I really got deep into all that when I was working with adding widgets into the customizer for WordPress 3.9.
Ah, okay.
And that was really my first deep foray into core contributing and also the customizer. But yeah, and this goes back to Gutenberg again, widgets are, like most of WordPress, very PHP centric.
Yes.
And everything about a widget is in PHP, whether it's the form that's rendered out, the sanitization of the values that you're updating into the widget, and then, you know, getting back that updated widget form after you've saved it, and then rendering out the widget on the front end. Everything is PHP. And so shimming PHP widgets into Customizer, which is a JavaScript single page application, was very challenging. And we had to invent some approaches that are actually somewhat similar to like a virtual DOM in React, where when you have, say, the text widget, and you have the title in the text field, and then you make a change, and then when you make a change in the customizer, you don't have to hit submit. It just goes live to the preview, and the preview updates. And so basically every single change you make will take those values and make an AJAX request and submit those to the server, and then it runs it through the update function and the or update method in that widget, and then gets back the value. And then along with the value that comes back, it has the newly rendered form with those values supplied into it. And then it takes the form that the server rendered with those updated values and the form and the DOM, and then it compares each input in the two. And if every input has a match, then it will copy the values from the server onto the client, unless you're currently focused on that element, and then it won't override it because it'll blow away whatever you're typing. But
wow, that's a lot.
So it's really complicated, really complicated.
Yeah.
And, but with Gutenberg, because it's a JavaScript first approach to developing the interfaces, none of those hacks are going to be needed. And a lot of what WordPress, like the the WordPress admin screen for editing posts, it's very PHP centric, and so that has been a limitation and has held back a lot of the ability to manage posts and pages in the customizer, because you can't just take the meta box from a random plugin and show it in the customizer, because it needs PHP to render, it needs PHP to save, and then it's impossible to preview because there's no model associated with a given meta box's post meta that is managing. It's all just actions like save post action callbacks. And so along with Gutenberg focusing on the JavaScript interfaces, it's also about the data model and representing those changes in memory. And with those two pieces, then we'll be able to take the Gutenberg interfaces and the blocks and all that and bring it into the customizer and really, I think, iterate on widgets in a way that will fully realize what we were trying to do back in WordPress 3.9 and make it a much more responsive and what's the word? Interactive experience with manipulating these blocks of content on your site in a way that widgets could never do.
Wow. And I think that anyone who has used a customizer at some point has wondered, hey, why can't I just update the rest of my site through this? And it's very interesting, the technical reasons why, many of which you're laying out, but also how some projects like Gutenberg and JS Widgets will help make that possible, kind of each adding a new component and layer that can eventually all be brought into that live customizer view. And you know, something, if you're building this app from scratch, would take a different approach, but it is interesting how over time and WordPress has stacked and continues to stack technologies to get new solutions and interfaces and interactivity. Wow, so that's a very cool also take on kind of what's coming. I know I have this big learning deeply question that I want to ask you, but I also want to give you any opportunity if there's other stories you want to share or just kind of experiences with JavaScript over time that other people might be able to learn from or relate to along their way.
I don't have anything.
All right. Then here comes the good one, which I hope and I think you will have a response to. You know, it's fading a little bit from the press and news, but Learn JavaScript Deeply was something that was laid out a couple years ago for us. And I think especially with everything you just talked about and the JS projects involved, it still does hold relevance today. And a lot of people have been working their way along this path. But to you, what does it mean to learn JavaScript deeply, and how do you know where you fit in on that path and if this path is for you?
Yeah, I think that to learn JavaScript deeply means that you can write plain JavaScript without any frameworks. Oh. But that doesn't mean you should limit yourself to that, and you would be short-sighted to do that, and you would be hurting yourself in the long run, because it's best to stand on the shoulders of giants. I think that's the phrase.
Hoorah, yeah.
And so many people have come before us and have developed solutions to the pain points that we experience when we do develop applications, and that's what jQuery has served for so long, great modeled there for providing a library that smooths over a lot of those pain points. And then now things like React and Vue. And so while it's very important to be able to write plain JavaScript and know how JavaScript works at the language level, it's then important then to, once you have that in place, to use frameworks to really accelerate and go much farther than you could given the time scales that we have for our individual projects. But when you do use a framework to dig deep into how those frameworks actually work, like I said, with Backbone and with the customizer framework, to know the bits and pieces of how it's actually working, and to be able to go in and actually hack on the source code of that project, adding in debugging and to really know the different pieces and how everything comes together, so that when there is a bug in your code, you can walk back up the stack trace or down the stack trace and figure out what part of that framework is causing a problem. Maybe it's even a bug in the framework itself. But if you're not able to go deep into the framework code itself and know how it works, then you'll never be able to peel back the layers and understand what's going on.
Wow. What solid and practical, again, approach and answer to that. You want to know how to be able to write JavaScript straight up. You want to know what frameworks are out there and leverage them when they make sense, but also begin to understand how they work. And also, you've mentioned this a few times, so I want to highlight it again. You've mentioned being able to go into code and figure out where there are errors, not just your own code, but tracing stuff back. And maybe just kind of before we close out here, you could share some tips and ideas for others. You've talked a little bit about how you have learned in the past, how you're learning today. To accomplish this goal of being able to write vanilla JS and then being able to leverage frameworks, but also this more, I think maybe even more difficult to learn one of how to trace things back, of how to understand how they work, how to get comfortable reading source code and exploring it. What suggestions, resources, tips, any kind of advice you could give to folks who this appeals to and want to go down this path, but may just be looking for some suggestions and tips along the way?
The debugger keyword in JavaScript is huge for this, and in Chrome and Firefox too, I believe, if you add a debugger statement to your JavaScript code, it'll open the dev tools and pause execution at that point, and then you can inspect you can see the call stack, and you can see what functions have called the function that you're currently in, and then you can walk up and you can see and then you can continue playing through and then go deep down into the framework, and you can then see how your code is interacting with the framework's code, and you can play around with the code as it's running, and that can be super powerful for getting an idea of that interplay between your code and the framework's code, and can be really insightful.
You heard it there, folks. Pop open debugger and you go from there. That's some solid advice, man. You mentioned the Wes Boss's stuff, the JavaScript, different various books out there. Are there other resources, general guides that you've seen that you think others might benefit from if they haven't come across it yet?
The You Don't Know JS book series, a really
great one.
I mean, there's so many out there that it's kind of hard to not find something that's great. Just kind of do a random search and you'll trip over something that'll open your mind to some new thing. But I think also the JavaScript weekly newsletter and trying to keep up with the latest developments in the space, because things are moving so fast. I think that's a good way to keep up and current on the latest developments.
Totally. And maybe we could end with this last question that's completely on that topic. You know, learning JavaScript deeply can take a long time. It could mean you only need to learn so much at certain times, and it could be a multiple years path, and stuff is changing so fast. So what recommendations do you have for folks on how to integrate continual learning with needing to get work done, whatever, even if that's in the field of JavaScript, or maybe they're doing something else and learning this on the side?
I think trying to build things using the technologies that you want to learn is really important. and it can really slow down your progress in building the thing that you need to build. But it's slow because you're also learning a lot in the process. And so I think it can be discouraging to really be making not a lot of progress. But I think it's important to remember that you're making a lot of progress, not just what you're making with your hands, but with what you're building in your mind.
OMG. Boom. There you go. Folks, this has been amazing. I hope you rewind and watch this again. Weston, I just want to thank you, one, for all the work that you've done and continue to do, and for coming on the show, man. It was very exciting to have you, and great stories, great responses to everything. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, folks, I encourage you to subscribe. You could check us out on iTunes or on YouTube. The show is at javascriptforwp.com/show, where I also have some resources for folks trying to learn JavaScript for WordPress. So until next time, keep on learning and happy JavaScripting.